a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
I know everyone is really excited. The summer is in the air and Christmas is in the air and everything, but I feel like the week before Christmas, a week to a week and a half before Christmas, is the time when I'm at my ugliest for the year.
What?
Like, I am yet to get my hair done. And I would suggest this is the same for a lot of people. We book stuff in as close to Christmas Day as possible so that you're fresh over Christmas and New Year's and whatever holidays you have. And that includes, and I know this is a weird concept for you because you wouldn't have to care about any of this, but it includes waxing, tanning, and hair treatments.
Okay.
Okay? So we are having the Jimmy James family Christmas this weekend.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So tomorrow we're having the family Christmas. But months ago I booked in my waxing in the morning.
Okay.
Okay, same day.
Yeah.
And I can't change it because
okay.
everyone
morning,
gets in.
Yeah,
I know, I know. But the thing
lunch is the lunch.
Yeah, okay. Now, I'm not expecting that anyone is going to see part of what I'm getting waxed, but the other part, they definitely will, and that's my eyebrows. And not only am I getting my eyebrows waxed, but I'm getting them tinted too.
Okay.
And normally what happens is that your eyebrows look absolutely insane for about 3 to 4 days, and then they settle in and they look really good.
Sure, okay.
So I have to get my eyebrows done the morning of
right.
the family Christmas. And so I have to go to the family Christmas with my eyebrows looking absolutely insane.
Mm.
This is not fair.
It's all right. They'll distract from the rest of your insanity.
No,
they're expecting something insane from you every time. So
but I'm just like
they'll just be like, oh, it's just another thing.
No, but
this year it's her eyebrows.
But, so now I have to ask, right? Do I go in there and tell everyone, look,
no.
I'm aware that my eyebrows look insane. Like I feel like it's better to just be like, hey, everyone, yes, the eyebrows. But there's nothing we can do about it, so let's just move on.
You will. You will. There's no way you can't. And if you don't do it initially, at some point you'll make a self-deprecating comment about, oh, my eyebrows, I bloody had to get them tinted today, didn't I? Like, you, there's no way you'll be able to just let it slide.
Well, I kind of feel like I have to. Otherwise, I'll be sitting there and people will be like, what is going on with her eyebrows? Like, they look really dark and really like, you know, straight-edged.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it looks very intense.
No, I know, yeah.
So okay, because I'm a bit scared. Even after last night, we went to a function and I came in a dress, and when you saw me walk in, you yelled in front of about 30 people.
I did not yell.
Loggy's got her legs out.
I did not yell. I said to the people
you
in the immediate space around me.
You ran up to me and said, oh, check out your legs. And I said, shut up, like I'm uncomfortable, like, you know, whatever. And then you proceeded to tell people, yeah, she's got faces in her knees. You should check them out. So I'm a bit on edge at the moment because I'm not my best self. Okay?
Mate, if you didn't dress like Little House on the Prairie all the time, it wouldn't be a thing. All right?
That makes no sense. I only dress as Little House on the Prairie where I'm going somewhere.
Just wear a cap tomorrow and they'll think you've really lost the plot.
Okay.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Time Magazine's Person of the Year has been announced for 2024, and it's Donald Trump for the second time, 1 month before he's sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Do we know who it was last year?
Was it Taylor Swift last year?
That would make sense.
Let me have a look. You kept her Person of the Year.
Yeah, so he's
2023.
He's had some notable moments in 2024, as you well know.
Taylor Swift, yeah.
Yeah, it was Taylor Swift. I don't know what's the definition of being the Time Person of the Year.
So basically the definition is that for better or worse, who has shaped the world and the headlines over the past 12 months?
Yeah. Well, yeah. That seems accurate. Mm. The last time he was on the cover of Time Magazine, oh no, first time was 1989, 28 years before his inauguration. Anyway, he looks exactly the same. 1989 to now. Anyway, I just thought it was worth noting that Time Magazine is still a thing.
Yes.
Is it? Is it?
Can you pick it up at the airport?
Do you know anyone who reads Time Magazine?
I have never seen a Time Magazine.
What's in Time Magazine?
Who knows?
There's some delightful recipes. Are you going to show me how to make sort of biscuits out of rice bubbles and kofa?
So you reckon, oh, yum. I reckon they've got like, what, separate sections? Like if this is how much time you have.
Oh, yeah.
You got 5 minutes?
Yeah.
10 minutes? 20 minutes?
They don't number it by pages. They number it by time. Like,
yeah, yeah.
If you've got 20 minutes to spare, you'll get this far into the magazine.
Yeah, yeah. And this is how you roast a chook, and you need to make it as orange as this guy's face.
Yeah, all right. So the roasted chook is the person of the year.
Yeah.
My point is, I don't think print is really a thing anymore in terms of the magazine world, is it?
Well, what's if it was time, radio. Yeah. I mean, radio's not going anywhere.
No, it is not. But honestly, is Time magazine a thing any other time of the year?
It's
like one day of the year that people are like, oh, that's still a thing.
Okay. Yeah, it's definitely not. Maybe it's just a cover. Maybe that's all it is now.
Imagine the cover. It's him, and you open it, and it's two ads for Harvey Norman, and then on the other side, that's it. There's nothing on the back page.
Tom, Lingy, and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
KROQ 955, it's Tom here, live from Good Things Festival at Flemington Racecourse, and I've got Alex from the Gaslight Anthem joining me. Hey, Alex. How you going, mate?
Good. I'm doing great. How you doing?
Yeah, really good, thanks. It's awesome to have you guys in the country. And it's been a while since, we've sort of heard from you guys. Yeah. I wanted to know, right, so it was almost 10 years that you guys went on hiatus.
Uh-huh.
And unlike other bands where they make a big song and dance and, hey, we're going to do this and do that, you guys just sort of stopped doing stuff. I mean, Brian kept releasing music.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys just sort of stopped doing stuff. When you guys did get back together, how did that happen? And History Books is, I mean, it's a great album, but what was the genesis of that?
We didn't want to do the thing where, especially the way the industry used to be, you would make a record, spend like 2 years touring on that, make a record, spend 2 years touring on it, make a record. You know, like it was like this constant kind of a...
Like a cookie cutter
almost. A record cycle.
Yeah, sure.
And, I feel like when you're in that situation and, it's kind of going on and on and on, It gets really easy to fall into traps of like just, well, we're going to do another one, so we might as well do another one.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't necessarily have something to say, but we got to find a way to keep the wheels moving, so we'll just put whatever out. So it's something we didn't want to do.
Yeah.
And Brian wanted to like work on other things, I guess you'd say like the more like delicate kind of side of his persona. If that
sure,
makes any sense.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But after, I guess, doing that for a minute, I mean, the way he brought it up to me was he wants to play rock and roll again, so he wants to get the band back together.
Yeah.
And I obviously said, of course.
Yeah, nice, yeah.
You know?
In terms of the recording, compared to your older sound, History Books is a bit different. How did you guys change things up when you recorded History Books?
Honestly, aside from just, we didn't really do anything differently than normally do other than we're all older.
Yeah.
And, I know, like, I spent a lot of the time during the hiatus not just, like, working on other stuff, but, like working on my utility as a musician.
Mm.
Like, the boring stuff that you never wanted to practice growing up.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes I felt like it was time to hunker down and do that as well,
Yeah.
So, and I we all did, I think, not knowing the others, you know what I mean? Just we all got, I think, better at our instruments and that,
So when you're up on stage playing, obviously you're going to play the new stuff, but you're playing some of your older stuff. Mm-hmm. Is there anything particular that hits different now than it did before? So I'll give you an example. So 45, sure. Classic tune, right? It's mm-hmm. one of my all-time great favourite tunes, right?
Thank you.
Brilliant song, but I never sort of got too deep into the lyrics, just to love the song.
Mm-hmm.
But you go through stuff in life and all of a sudden you hear it and it hits different, and 10 years later, is there any of your gear that you find hits different now as you're touring it again?
I mean, I wouldn't say that it hits differently, more that it's like there's just another layer to it.
Yeah, cool.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it hasn't changed meaning per se, it's just another meaning has been added.
Yeah, okay.
To what we do.
And what about the way you guys play it? Has it evolved over time? Like when we're going to hear 45 this afternoon? I'm hoping we're going to hear 45 this afternoon.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's on the set list.
Yeah.
Honestly, my playing stamina has increased.
Cool.
It's, like I said, doing all that kind of utility kind of work, strengthening your fingers and just playing along with the metronome, practicing scales, makes doing the songs turn into just like muscle memory,
To
where you don't have to worry about what am I doing while you're doing it. You can kind of focus more on having fun on stage.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, we're very excited. Last thing I wanted to ask you about, Bruce Springsteen on the album. I'm sure everyone's asked you about it. Like, how did that come about? And is that something that you always wanted to do?
I mean, I'd be remiss to say we never wanted to do that. But it wasn't something that was always, like, on the forefront in our minds. But when we got back together, I think Brian might have mentioned something to him, like, just in joking. And he was like, sure, I'll do it. Write me a song. So it's, you know, like, as Brian has said, it's like Hendrix being like, yeah, just write me a guitar solo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know? But so instead of trying to write a duet, what Brian did instead was just we wrote the record, and then we recorded everything and tried to figure out which one of the songs would fit best with him on it.
Sure.
It just happened to be the title track. It wasn't, like, intentional that way. The album title was already picked before we picked the song for him to be on it.
Yeah.
You know, and he was on tour while it happened, so, like, I think he recorded his parts in Dublin.
Yeah, sure.
And we were in, he did the record in Connecticut.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I still remember listening to it for the first time and being like,
oh. You know. The boss is on our track. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. All right. Well, it's awesome to have you in Australia. We're so glad you guys have released your music.
To be here.
Yeah. And you're back. And we can't wait to see you hit the stage. Good things. Melbourne, Brisbane, and also Sydney. Thanks so much for your time.
Totally, man.
Cheers, man.
Want more of that gear? Just tune in weekdays from 6 on KROQ 955 or at krock.com.au. That's where you go for more Tom Lingy and Loggy Gold.
If you see some ice, a block of ice on the street, it might be a V billboard. That's what happened in Sydney yesterday, and it was a hot and humid day, and this guy was like, I'm going to put my tongue on that block of ice, and he got stuck there.
Stuck there for quite a while, and security was trying to, like, pour water on the ice to melt it so he could remove his tongue without, like, ripping the skin off. And, look, no word as to whether he did. He is obviously not there now, so he got away. Was he intact or not? We're not sure, but certainly it took them a long time. The ice was not melting.
And was it a really good guerrilla marketing campaign? I mean, it may have been because we're talking about it, but nonetheless, it got us thinking about what have you been stuck to, and you got stuck to yourself.
Yeah, my finger pads, like my fingertips, all five of them, all 10 of them, if you will, with super glue one time, and I had to run across the road to a hairdresser's and get them to put nail polish remover and get me, because I actually didn't even know that there was an answer. I was like, how do I undo this?
This is so bizarre that you've been in the praying position and you're stuck. But anyway, 5223-2955. Danny from Leopold, good morning. What did you get stuck to?
I got stuck to a homemade pinball machine made out of nails.
Okay, I just had to take a second to process.
So many questions.
When we were little, my brother made a pinball machine out of a piece of chipboard, and it was lined with nails, and all the rubber bands held it together, and you had pegs and a little ball, and it was leaning up against the bottom bunk, and I jumped off the top bunk and landed on it with my foot.
Oh, my God.
My foot was stuck to this board full of nails.
Oh, my goodness. So the nails were in your foot?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Not the pointy side, not the pointy bit, the flat bit.
Oh, my God, that's even worse. That's even worse. I never even thought that was possible.
The bizarre thing is I don't remember much after that, but I remember being at the surgery, at the doctor's surgery, and I was crying because I had to get a tetanus shot.
And that was what you were afraid of. You got bloody reverse nails through it. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yep.
I'm shocked, Danny. I don't know who I am. I don't
horrifying.
Know what's going on.
Very clever by your brother, though, to construct that, put it together.
That's probably the only thing he's clever at.
I'm no psychologist either, but do you get scared around pinball machines now?
No. Okay, no, it doesn't. But I do have a few scars on the foot.
Yeah, okay. I bet you do.
Sexy.
Glad you processed that. Now I'm going to have to process it. I appreciate that.
Tom Lingy and Loggy. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at KROQ 955, weekday mornings from 6.